Here tonight. You can be seated. I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to a famous chapter, 1 Samuel 17. I appreciate your pastor. Thank God for this opportunity. It's just a real honor and a joy to be with you. I enjoyed hearing the AG sing, and I've been with them from Maine to South Carolina now. And a place or two in between, but it's great to hear them sing, be around them again. They're such a blessing. I know this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but I hope that you don't let the familiarity of it take away from what I feel like God would have us to hear tonight. And all right, make sure I got this thing on. 1 Samuel 17, before I read the text, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. And I would ask you to pray for me, that God would help me to be a blessing, to say what needs to be said, and then get out of the way tonight. And then I'd also ask you to pray that God would speak to your heart somehow through the message tonight, all right? So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this privilege and this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this good church and pastor. Lord, now as we look into your word, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to every heart in this building, mine included. Help me to be sensitive to you, Lord. Help me to be mindful. I pray through the course of the message tonight that you would receive the honor and the glory for what's said and done in this place tonight. I beg you to have your will and way. If there's one here that's lost, I pray you'd save them. And Lord, just touch your church, touch your people tonight and stir our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read, I know this is a long chapter, there's a lot here. I just want to read a few verses to start out with and then try to bring the message, all right? So in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shechah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shechah and Azekah," if I'm pronouncing that right, "in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain of one on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And I'm going to stop reading there. I want to take just a minute to kind of get your mind to think about Goliath. I thought about something about Goliath's history and thought about the fact that somebody obviously raised Goliath. And he was obviously raised by pagans. They were heathens. They were idolaters. They were wicked people. And how do I know that? Because these individuals were uncircumcised.
That was the mark of the covenant relationship with God. And here he is, an uncircumcised Philistine, and whoever it was raised him, they fed him, they trained him, they indoctrinated him. I see a lot of parallels between this giant and some giants that we may face in the days to come. I believe that the world system, the devil has got some giants that we may be facing in the days to come. And they're being raised up among us. They may come in different forms and fashions, but I thought about how they indoctrinated him. They taught him. And I believe we're living in a day, if you can get an education without indoctrination, you're doing pretty well. This world is trying to indoctrinate this young generation. There's no doubt about that. They didn't just train him, but I don't know what else to say, but they tested him. That speaks of his experience. He was a champion of the Philistines. That means he had been in battle before multiple times, obviously. And I do think that you and I, in some sense, have, or COVID has been an opportunity for this world, our nation, the powers that be, to, in some sense, test giants against us. I really believe that. In fact, they've been testing how willing we are to shut down the church, for instance. They've been testing how willing we are to submit to their mandates, whether it be a mask or a shot or whatever. They're testing us as to how we are allowing, and I don't know how else to put this, but really we're allowing in America insanity to rule here. Why do I say that? I mean, for instance, we are we allowed the looters to loot the trains and the supply chain when we were having all that problem during COVID. We are opening our borders and just allowing people to cross. That's insane. We're shutting our own production of oil down here and buying our oil from our enemies. That's insanity. What's going on? Killing babies. That's insane. Saying there's 60 or 100 and something genders. That's insanity. Would you agree with me today? This, what's going on in America is insane. And in some sense, they are testing these giants to see if anybody is going to stand against them. I'm convinced of that. I thought about how that this text that we read says, the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Webster said that means to provoke to combat or strife by appealing to the courage of another. It means to dare them. Webster even used Goliath as an example in the definition. But you know what they're doing today? As they try to defy us and stand against us and what we believe, they are really, I believe, just trying to find out who is going to stand against that. They're putting us to that kind of a test. They're daring us to do anything about it. And so in a sense, they are provoking us to a fight. And I believe it's coming. Well, I'm not going to get bogged down here, but also somebody was controlling Goliath. I mean, somebody sent him out on the battlefield. He wasn't the general in charge of all the forces of the Philistines. We see in verse 10 his arrogance and his defiance. He's calling for somebody to come out and fight with him. And you know the crowd that opposes us tonight, they are arrogant and they are defiant. There's so many similarities that I see to our day. There's giants growing in our land. And unfortunately, you and I will have giants personally that we're going to have to face. Some of you may be facing a giant tonight. There may be some kind of huge thing in your life that has come up against you and you feel overwhelmed by that. You have no idea what you're going to do about that. Well, I want you to know that, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but just I'm trying to lay a little foundation here. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven that still takes care of His people. Amen? I don't know what you're facing today personally, and I don't know what we'll face personally in the days to come, but I also believe we're going to face some things publicly and collectively as the people of God in America. I believe the time's coming when the giants are going to stand up more bold, more defiant, more arrogant, louder than they ever have before. And it's high time that the church of the living God, that we prepare ourselves to face the giants when they do stand up against us. I feel it coming on. You pray the Lord would help me today. I am settled in my heart that God has a message for us in this building tonight. That God wants to do something in Spartanburg County, Union County, South Carolina, America. Our God's still on the throne tonight. Do you believe that? I still believe that with all my heart. Now I want you to look at the circumstances that they were facing in this text. The Philistines had gathered their armies, and from what I understand here, the fight was taking place on the property that belonged to the people of God. In verse number 11, the Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The word dismayed means they were shattered, broken, terrified, disheartened, deprived of courage, and shaken to pieces. What have you heard lately that has broken you? What have you seen even in the last couple of years that has shaken you? There's a lot of noise going on out there. And it is oftentimes that what we hear that begins to affect us and shake us and cause us to be dismayed and cause us to be greatly afraid. It is happening. In verses 12 through 19, David is sent by his father to the battle. I'm not going to read all that, but look down in verse number 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forward to the fight and shouted for the battle. I think everybody here probably knows what a trench is. But I got to thinking about this trench. Here's the armies of Israel, and they are what you would say, they're dug in. I've never seen anybody be able to pick a trench up and move it. Right? The point I'm trying to make is, you know, I think sometimes the church is satisfied just digging in and holding their ground. We heard a message this morning, and I feel like that what's on my heart tonight just kind of lines up with all that we heard this morning. But we heard this morning about how God wants us to go forward. Not dig in just where we are, but to be a force that is moving. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what gates do? They prevent motion. They prevent you from going forward. And that's what our enemy and the giants of this day, that's exactly what they want us to do. If we're not going to retreat, they'd like for us to just dig in and hold where we are. But God, I believe He doesn't want us just to be satisfied with that. I believe we shouldn't be satisfied till we run that wicked crowd off our property. Are you listening to me? I feel stirred tonight. We've laid down too long. We've dug in too long. Don't be happy just keeping the ground. We ought to be conquering the ground tonight. Moving forward for God. God's interested in that. I'm interested in challenging the champion and running that crowd off our land. I mean, after all, this is our nation. This is our church. This is our land. This is our town. We ought to run the devil plumb out of the county if we can. Plumb out of the country if we can. Should we not? I'm not satisfied where we are. Oh, there was a trench. And I want you to notice what he said in verse 20. He says, the host was going forth to the fight. and shouted for the battle. They were going forward to the fight. That means they were putting on a good show. And that's about all we have. We don't read about a battle. All it says is they were going forward to the battle. They had all their armor polished and all their swords sharpened and had all their equipment ready. And I mean, everything was in order. But there wasn't no blood being shed. And that's where the church is, I'm afraid, in this day. We have polished it, our messages, and we have polished our singing, and we have got all of our programs in order, and we know how to put on a good show. But we're not doing much battling in this day. God, help us. And then the Bible says not only were they going to the fight, but they shouted for the battle. They were letting out a war whoop. They were crying out, a war cry, a battle cry. And I was wondering what all that noise I'm hearing in these days. A lot of it's just a bunch of racket that we're hearing. They know how to put on a good show and they make a lot of noise. But I'm interested in bloodshed, are you? They call us Bloody Baptists because of the blood of Christ. But I think we ought to be Bloody Baptists because there's demon blood and guts hanging off our swords. Amen? We ought to be running that crowd, as I said, out of town. We need substance and not just shouting. They were just making a noise, but they didn't have any nerve. They had a show and a shout, but there wasn't much conquering power. And I'm afraid that's where we failed. I'll get to it in a few minutes. But how many victories have we heard about it lately? How many giants have we seen slain lately? I really believe that the main problem in our homes, in our churches, and in our country is a lack of the power of God. And I am not setting myself up as an example. I'm just telling you what the target is. I'm telling you what the need is. And I'll be the first to confess I need it as bad as anybody else. I need God's hand, God's touch. These young people need the hand of God on them to live for God in a wicked and ungodly world. Mamas and daddies need the hand of God and the power of God on them to raise children in a wicked and an ungodly society that we're living in. We need the hand of God on us in this day. We have got by with all of the programs and all of the shows. We have got by this far. But we're coming to a place that the giants are going to start raising their head and we'll not get by any longer with just that. We're not going to get by with just a form, just a show. God, have mercy on us. They couldn't drive the enemy off of their land. Look in verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array. They laid everything in order. They had prepared it. They did everything they knew to do to prepare for this battle. Again, they had planned and strategized and came up with programs and gimmicks and on and on and on. And there's nothing wrong with planning and well organization and all of that. But listen, the church today, again, is well equipped and well organized. But we're not winning many battles, and that's what's grieving me. I'm tired of seeing my young people captured by this world. I'm tired of seeing the influence of an ungodly society in the house of God. Aren't you? I'm tired of that. What is it going to take to change the tide? It's going to take the hand of God in the individual sitting on the pews and in the pulpits of our churches across America. Verse 22, the Bible says, David, when he got there, he ran into the army. Verse 23, and he talked with them. Behold, as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And I love these next three words. And David heard them. If I have read my Bible correctly, this Philistine had for 40 days, according to verse 16, for 40 days in the morning he came out and made his defiance. In the evening he came out and made his defiance. Apparently 80 times that rascal had walked out there and defied the armies of Israel. But he did it one too many. Every other day he got by with it. But on this day, hey, things had changed. On this day, that was a little boy, really just a boy, that was on the scene this time. In all of his pride and his pomp and his power and his arrogance, he had made his boasts and brags and defied the armies of Israel. But this day was a different day. David heard what that rascal said this day, and he would not get by this time. I love preaching on David. I want to be like David, don't you? A man after God's own heart. I'm not there, but I want to be there. I want to be a giant slayer. I feel like all I've done is killed a few mosquitoes along the way. But I want to be a giant slayer, don't you? Somebody help me tonight. It's what Brother Aldridge would say. Brother Willis, somebody help me. Think about this now. Look in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, now they heard him in verse 11 and feared, and now they saw him. Sometimes it's not what you hear, it's what you see that's so scary. And make no mistake about it, there's real dangers out there, and there are real giants, and he was a real giant. Verse 25, the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that's come up?" It's almost like they wanted to know, "David, have you seen what we've seen? Do you see it like we do? We see a giant out there. We see a big man. We can't overcome him." And it's almost like they're saying to David, do you see it like we do, David? David didn't see it like they did. And I'll show you that in a minute. Verse 26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, I want to back up in verse 25. After they asked him if they had seen him, they told David what would happen to the man or for the man that killed the Philistine. And David turns around and says, "What will happen to the man that kills the Philistine?" In essence, he didn't ask that question because he needed to know the answer. They just told him the answer to that. The reason he asked that question was that he was appalled by what they had said. I believe it kind of went like this. They said, "Man, Saul is really going to reward the man that kills Goliath." And I believe David said, "What? What's going to happen to the man that kills Goliath?" I think what he's saying is this. "You mean to tell me that Saul's got to pay somebody to kill that rascal? You mean to tell me that somebody's got to be bribed to go out there and kill that big mouth? Here's what he said. He's defying the armies of what? The living God." He's looking at that crowd and saying, "You're acting like God's dead. You're acting like this can't be done, that God's not alive, that we're not serving the living God, and He is defying us. You mean to tell me, and by the way, you can't pay anybody to have a heart for God. That can't be bought. They couldn't pay anybody enough, apparently, to go out there and face Goliath. Or they had 40 days to step up and nobody did." And I believe David is appalled by that. He is shocked that Saul's having to pay somebody. He didn't care if he got paid or not. He wasn't interested in that. What he's saying is, "You got to be kidding me. Our God is not dead." And could I say that to you tonight? The same God that was on the throne in this day, still on the throne today. Do you believe that? He sure is. I'm trying to hurry. In verse 27, they said, "No." I'm paraphrasing now. "People answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done.'" He said, "No, we're not kidding. That's what Saul said he would do. We're not kidding. Saul's trying to pay somebody." Then verse 28, boy, David's elder brother, he's full of all kind of questions. I'm just going to run through them. He said, basically, "You're full of pride." David said, no, in essence, he was full of God. He said, "Your heart's naughty, it's bad." No, it was burdened. You came to see the battle. There was no battle. There wasn't anything to see. They were too scared to put up a fight. They would face the enemy, but they wouldn't fight him. And then, of course, the famous saying in verse 29, David said, is there not a cause? And verse 30 indicates that he went from one to the other. He didn't just say it one time. He at least said it twice. He said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What's wrong with you? Our God's alive. I believe he is upset. I wonder how many of us are upset over what we're seeing. How many of us are stirred and burdened and brokenhearted about what we're seeing happen in America today? What we're seeing in people's homes. Just giving up, afraid to do anything, afraid to say anything, afraid to take a stand against anything. We're living in a day when everybody, it seems, is interested in letting everything just go. He goes from one to the other, and finally he walks down. I'm not going to spend my time there. But he walks down to face Goliath. Now I want you to think about David just a minute. David and Saul, both of them were anointed of God. They had the Spirit of God come upon them. Both of them did. They started out humble before the Lord. They started with a passion to stand for God. And even Saul had won great victories. But now all the men of Israel, and Saul included, they were looking for a hole to crawl in. But David was looking to get ahead. I was going to title a message out one day. And I was going to say, I was going to preach on this and preach on how to get ahead. That's what he did. He ended up with Goliath's head. David was interested in getting ahead. You want to know how to get ahead? I'm going to tell you in just a minute. And that's going to be the heart of the message. I was going to use that title, but I found out somebody beat me to it. They wanted a hole. David wanted a head. What do we want today? David was an under-shepherd. In verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. You see, he kept them in every sense of the word. And if there's ever a day when we need some under-shepherds that'll make a difference, it's in this day and hour. Now I want you to think about the difference between the perception of those that believe versus unbelief. The unbelief of Saul and Israel, they saw a giant. But the faith of David saw God. You remember in Numbers 13 when the spies were giving the report of the land of promise, they said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. What they were saying is, because that was the 10 that didn't believe, they were in unbelief, what they were saying is, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers and they saw us as grasshoppers. What they were saying is, we saw it just like the unbelievers did. How do we see it tonight? So many things to be said. He walks on to the battlefield, and in verse 42, the unbelief of Goliath, the Bible says that he disdained David. What does disdain mean? It means he counted him unworthy of notice. He just saw him also as a grasshopper. You know what, tonight though, David was not measuring himself against this giant. He was measuring himself, or he was saying ultimately that the battle is between God and the giant. And when you became the sheep of God's pasture, your enemies became His responsibility. In verse 47, David said to Goliath, the battle's the Lord's. And he is standing there facing a man much larger than he is, much more experienced than he is. He said, the battle's the Lord's. I don't know who might be here tonight facing a giant in your own life. But I want you to know that your God's still real and the battle's the Lord's. And He is able to take care of whatever problem you're facing today, tomorrow, or whatever giant we're going to face in the days to come. Now I want you to see David's purpose, and I'm done. Look in verse 26. In the end of that verse, David was speaking. He said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Look in verse 36. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." You hear that again. Look in verse 45. Now David's talking to the giant. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You think about what he is saying in this text. David knew that the battle again was between God and Goliath, and that wasn't even a close match. In this text, we see David's purpose in verse 46. He said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." And here it is. Why would he do this? "That all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel." You know what? David was not there to build a name for himself. David was there, I believe, the heart of David was concerning the glory of God. He said he's defying the armies of the living God. He's defying the armies of the living God. He's defying God. He said, "I'm going to take your life so that this whole world will know there's a God in Israel." What have we done lately that would even tell our community that there's a God in America? That there's a God in our church, our home, our family? What have we done lately strictly for the glory of God? David was interested in that. And whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, that should be our heart's desire. And so I say that I believe this world needs to see the people of God doing that, which shows them that our God is real. We have seen what men can do, and the world is not impressed by that. They can match that, but they can't match what God can do. I'm tired of seeing what men can do. I want to see what God can do. I want to see what God can do in my young people. I want to see what God can do in our church, our land. Don't you want to see that tonight? On this day that we're reading about, some things didn't matter. It didn't matter how big David was. It didn't matter how strong he was. It didn't matter how much knowledge he had. It didn't matter how much battlefield experience. He could have had all kind of medals from medals of valor where he had been on the battlefield, and that wouldn't have helped him a bit. It didn't matter the numbers. You know, some people, the only thing they're interested in this day is how many they can get. But on this day, I'm not sure if Israel outnumbered the Philistines or if the Philistines outnumbered Israel. But obviously, for 40 days, that didn't make a lick of difference. And I promise you, we could build a crowd through all of the gimmicks of the world. But if we can't overcome the giants, it won't be impressive at all. It won't glorify God at all. Let us be careful about what the heart of our ministries are concerning. The only thing that mattered on this day was David's relationship with God. The only thing that mattered this day was David's walk with God. In verse 15, he'd been keeping his father's sheep in Bethlehem. In verse 16, I'd say David had spent time with God that morning. I'd say before Jesse sent David down to the battle, I'd say he had spent some time with God that morning. Little did he know that just a few hours later he would be facing a giant. But David was spiritually ready to face the giant at a moment's notice. And you and I don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know what we're going to face tonight or tomorrow. I do believe they're raising giants in our land. And I say again, we're going to face some personally and we're going to face some publicly. But the only thing that matters is not our size, our strength, our smarts, our experience, or our numbers. The only thing that matters is our walk with God. That's all that matters, is our relationship with God. The need of that day was a boy that walked with God. What do you think the need of this day is? I've been pastoring 27 years, and I'm not trying to put any feathers in my cap. But I'll say again, I don't know that I've ever lived to see a day when we are so destitute of people that have a walk with God. And they're raising giants in our land. I don't care how much we do or how much we try. Just spending some time with God. Getting to know Him. Praying. Reading our Bible. We know what we're supposed to be doing, but we're so busy. It's already been said, we're so busy with the ball. We're so busy with life. We're so busy with everything else. But on this day, when it was all on the line in Israel, the only thing that mattered was David, one little boy's walk with God. That is a challenge to us young and old. It don't even take the whole church. Just one. Just one mama's walk with God. Just one daddy's walk with God. Where are we in this hour? How is your walk today? You say, preacher, I got giants to face. Then concentrate on your walk with God. Stay close to the Lord. He has never failed. But too often we are passive and powerless pushovers for the devil because we don't walk with the Lord. I issue God's challenge with you in closing tonight. Goliath said, give me a man. And God did. I say tonight, give us some men. Give us some boys. Give us some young ladies. Give us some women. Give us somebody that'll just walk with God. Somebody that can make a difference. They sung a song a few minutes ago about making it through. I know we're going to make it through. Thank God we're going to make it through. But you know what? I want to leave a trail behind. I want to leave a blood trail behind. Don't you? I don't want to just make it. I don't want to just barely make it through. I want to go through with victory. I want to go through knowing that I've done my job. I've driven the devil off my property. I've defeated my giant. Not me, but God has. Somebody said this. Have we put as much time in with the Word? Have we put as much time in with God as we have with the Facebook and the TV and everything else? The only thing that really matters is your walk with God. I'm done, preacher. Come on.